If you got a Bible, open it up to the book of Acts. We will spend a portion in Acts chapter 2 in just a second here. But we are in, what is this, week 3 of our series on the Holy Spirit titled There Is More. Everybody say, There Is More. So kind of our overarching verse is from Acts 1, 4 through 5, which if you guys remember, Luke wrote the book of Acts. He also wrote the book of Luke, surprise. But this is kind of an extension of not only did he wanted to record the life and ministry of Jesus in the book of Luke, he also wanted to show, man, the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through the church. And so he wrote the book of Acts. And verse 4 and 5 says this, while they were staying with them, he, Jesus, ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. How many of you guys know the Father keeps his promises? Amen. That promise of the Father was the Holy Spirit. He said, you've heard from me that John baptized with water, a very important baptism, but he says, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So essentially, one of the ways that I'm kind of summarizing what Jesus is saying there is, I've done so much for you. I've called you to repentance. I've showed you who I am as the Messiah. I've died for you. I rose from the dead. But he's essentially saying, there is more. Wait for my power to rest on you. I want to baptize you or fill you or encounter you with the Holy Spirit. And I've been encouraging our church, even almost asking our church to read through the book of Acts throughout this series. And so we are 2 weeks in. So today was Acts chapter 14. And if you want to still jump in, it is still not too late. If you got behind, you're with me. I'm one chapter behind, but I'm sticking it through, guys, okay? So don't get discouraged. You can catch back up. If you want to join a GroupMe where many of us are reading through the book of Acts, and then one person a day is posting a takeaway or a couple takeaways from what they're learning in that chapter of the day, it's not too late to jump in, and that's just helpful to keep it engaging, to hear what else God's speaking to other people. So I encourage you to jump into that. And then I already told you kind of this series is about the Holy Spirit and that there is more, but look at this slide. This kind of lays out what we've been talking about, the different unique topics. So started off a couple weeks ago talking about hunger for more of the Holy Spirit. If we want to experience more of him, we need to start with hunger. Lord, I want you. God, I want you more than the things of this world. And just asking the Lord to put hunger inside of us. Last week, we talked about encountering the Holy Spirit. He is not just someone to learn about intellectually, but the Holy Spirit wants to encounter us significantly and dynamically. And then today, we're going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Anybody like gifts? You know who is a good giver of gifts? God. And he loves to give gifts to his children. So we'll talk about that today. And then next week, talk about the power of the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses. And then the 23rd and 30th, those are what we call prayer Sundays. And we're going to be praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our midst, but beyond these church walls in Northwest Arkansas and in this generation, asking for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All right. So my hopes throughout this series is that, one, our hunger is stirred again. Two, and hopefully this isn't obvious, to get some sound and biblical teaching on the things of the Holy Spirit. But then three is for real encounters with the living God. You guys know our faith is the only one that serves a living God. Every other God is fake and an idol and dead. We serve a living God. Amen? You guys believe that? And he is, one of the ways that he's living is he interacts with us. He encounters us. We can experience him, not just memorize things about him. Amen? We can experience the living God, and he wants to encounter us. But let me give you a little disclaimer. So, you know, I'll preach a message, and then we close out our service with time. The worship band will come back up, and then there's time for us to, you know, pray for one another or just respond however we feel led to respond. And just here's my disclaimer is, like, we don't have enough time. That's my disclaimer. Thank you. Yeah, I know. And, you know, we have probably, depends on how long I preach, but around 10-ish minutes to, like, respond to what God's doing. And I just wanted to comment on that. The disciples in the upper room that we are reading in the context that we're finding, they were in a 10-day prayer meeting. Okay, think about that for a second. I think they took breaks, at least to go to the bathroom, and then likely to eat. But, you know, Jesus said, wait, and they're interceding. It says in Acts 1:14, they were devoting themselves to praying. It wasn't just goofing off and waiting. They were like, they were believing that Jesus was not a liar and that he was going to fulfill his promise and send the Holy Spirit. And they were eagerly waiting in prayer. But they waited for 10 days, okay? And Just want to comment on that is when we're talking about the Holy Spirit coming and meeting with us, we're going to ask him, just like last week, Lord, come and encounter us, baptize us, fill us, give us gifts. But oftentimes we need to wait. So I am believing for not 10 days, but 10 seconds of waiting this morning and boom, God meets you. But if you have to wait longer than 10 seconds, maybe 10 minutes at the very last note of the ministry time, then boom, you know. And sometimes in the second service, we're able to extend it a little bit longer. But just want to comment on that. My hope is something has stirred a hunger, specifically this morning, to ask for the gifts of the Spirit. But keep asking him this week. Keep, you know, and I just love extended times in God's presence. Shout out to World Mandate. We have a lot of extended time in God's presence. And honestly, he comes and meets with us powerfully every year. As a little plug for that. But, you know, real encounters with the Holy Spirit often happen in unrushed and extended times in his presence. So I just wanted to give that disclaimer. I'm hopeful that we're not just dependent on a Sunday service. But, man, we want to encounter him throughout the week and keep that hunger going. Amen. All right, there you go. There's my disclaimer on our short ministry times. Okay, so Acts chapter 2. You guys there? If you're there, say I'm there. Okay. So this week, we are talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one of the first places we see some gifts released by God is Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, the day of Pentecost. It says this. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let me pause there. Story goes on, and I'll comment on the rest of the story in just a little bit. But first, I want to say, guys, imagine yourself in that upper room. What a moment. What a prayer meeting, yes? What a powerful experience with God. If you're sitting there in this room, and then boom, you know, wind starts blowing, you're starting to feel something's shifting in the atmosphere, and you see tongues of them. It's a powerful moment, but it's also a weird moment. If I'm in that room, like fire I'm seeing over people's head, then all of a sudden you start speaking in a language you didn't know, you haven't learned and studied. What an interesting yet powerful experience. And this is what we find in the Word of God, the day of Pentecost, when this is the fulfillment of what Jesus said to wait for, the promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And specifically, one of these first gifts that you see here is the gift of tongues. I'll comment on that a little bit later. One of the things that many scholars think this is, and I'll reference a podcast I would encourage you to listen to later, is that this is like a beautiful, not just a powerful moment, but a beautiful redemption story. If you go back to Genesis 11, remember the Tower of Babel? Languages happened there. And that was like almost it was a judgment. It was like the language is divided. But then here you see in the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit comes, languages again are happening, but it's this beautiful unifying moment and 3,000 people get saved. Woo! It's awesome. There's a bigger story in the Word of God of what he's doing with some of these gifts he's pouring out. It's awesome. But as you keep reading through the book of Acts, you see all sorts of gifts of the Holy Spirit. You see healings. You see prophecy, you see miracles and signs and wonders. And guys, guess what? According to scripture and church history, this is not just something to read about, but this is something for us today. Isn't that crazy? These disciples, you know, these apostles were sitting in the upper room. They had this crazy experience, powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit. But oftentimes we wrongly conclude that was just something for me only to read about. Guys, there's more than just reading about this. We can experience and encounter the Holy Spirit as well. And I believe he has that for us. So here's what I want to do, is ask you the question again I've been asking throughout this series. If there is more of God's Spirit, do we want it? Ask your neighbor, say, do you want it? Answer, go ahead. Hey, I am confronting something. I want you to I want you to confront yourself. Like, Lord, how hungry am I? And going back to that first message of this series is, Lord, make me hungry. If there is more of your Spirit you have for me, Lord, pour it out. And I'm talking to those of you that have never had any sort of experience with the Holy Spirit. Everything I'm talking about this series is brand new. it's like, let's begin to hunger for it. But I'm also talking to those of you that have some really powerful and amazing experiences with the Holy Spirit, and you are well acquainted, in a sense, with him. You've tasted and seen that he's good. There is still more for us, and I want us to hunger for that. So let's pray one more time, and then we'll jump into talking about the gifts. So God, again, here we are. We ask you to give us hunger for you, and that we would know there's more, and we would want more of your Spirit. God, would you open our minds to understand the scriptures this morning? And Lord, we thank you that you're a good father. You love to give good gifts. And so would you release gifts this morning for your glory, for our good, and for the benefit of your body. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what I'm going to do for the next few minutes is give you a little bit of an overview of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be pretty teachy, okay? So I'm going to give you some slides and all sorts of stuff. But here's my main point that I do not want you guys to miss, is that the gifts that God gives are good. And guess what? God only gives good gifts. Amen? All right, now listen, once you keep that powerful statement right there, I spent all week just meditating on this one, okay? God only gives good. Keep that up there just for a little bit. Because here's what's true. This is an easy statement for us to agree with. And there are certain gifts of the Spirit that you're familiar with in Scripture that you're like, yeah, that gift of generosity, yes, amen. That gift of teaching, yes. That gift of leadership, yes. The gift of healing, yes, yes. The gift of tongues, yes, you know, the gift of whatever else, it's, you know, interpretation of tongues and other things, regardless of what the gift is and how comfortable we feel with it, God only ever gives good gifts. Amen? Okay, there's some certain gifts, like I already hinted at, that we have caution on, and I want to address it because I'm pretty sure that just understanding who's in this room, that there is a variety of backgrounds and a variety of different upbringings regarding some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's certain teachings that you have heard that would make you kind of have reservation or caution with some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you just had personal bad experiences. And I've been saying this all throughout the series. I think God wants to heal you. And he has done a mighty healing work in my heart with some of these same things I just said. Some bad experiences I had, some bad teachings I've listened to and heard. And even there's just some cultural barriers. It has nothing to do with the church, but there's just like these cultural norms of like what's weird and what's normal in public or around other human beings. Yes, you can be as weird as you want when you're like by yourself. But it's like when you're in public, there's like certain things that's too weird for this public setting. I got to keep myself looking pretty, okay? So I just want you to know that there is some things we have to confront and address when we're talking about certain gifts of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to heal us, and he just is so committed to us not missing out on the good he wants to give us. And I want to encourage you, church body, let's confront these different things. Let's bring any things of our past to the Lord and to his word, and let's let him heal us. Matthew 7:11 says this, "If you then who are evil," like referring to earthly fathers, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven," or who is in heaven, "give good things to those who ask him?" He is a good father, and he loves to give good gifts to those who ask him. And so let's ask him. Let me give you a little bit of clarity on some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are listed in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:1-2 says, Paul's talking to this church. He's like, hey, concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be uninformed. Everybody say uninformed. Literally, this is one of my main goals of this whole series, is to inform you on different gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Paul's like, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be like just clueless regarding different gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then that verse 2, I want you to see that. It says, "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led." I think I've already hinted at this, I think, in my rambling of my intro, but one of the things that spiritual gifts do and help us realize is that we don't serve a mute idol. We serve a living and active God who speaks and interacts with his people. And I just love this because it reminds us that he's alive. And so let me inform you on some spiritual gifts, okay? So I'm going to give you a couple different slides of different lists in Scripture or in the New Testament about gifts that God gives. Okay, first one is in 1 Corinthians 12. These are some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you, there's nine of them listed, and I'm going to give you groups of three. These first three, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. These are commonly referred to, there's kind of like categories. This is revelation gifts. So like some sort of insight or revelation that God gives into your mind. So a word of wisdom, there's a definition there. Supernatural insight, providing godly direction and guidance. A word of knowledge. Now listen, this is not just a wise person. This is like wisdom received from heaven to address a specific situation. I love the example where Jesus is like, you know, all the Pharisees oftentimes would try to like stump him. You guys know that? And then Jesus would just do something that's like silences them. You know, he just like asks a question. I think of the coin example when they're talking about taxes. He's like, whose inscription or whose picture is on this? And they're like, Caesar. And he's like, give unto Caesar what's Caesar's, give to God what's God. That's like and then they silence them. Or whenever the woman caught in adultery, you know, put her before Jesus, and then instead of saying anything, he just bends down and starts writing. And then says, he who is without sin, throw the first stone. It silences the crowd again. This is like the wisdom of God flowing through Jesus. A couple examples of Jesus. Okay, word of knowledge, supernatural information about a person or a situation that couldn't be known otherwise. Again, that could be totally random information about this person, maybe a hobby they have or when they were born or whatever. In Acts chapter 9, Ananias, this is the good Ananias. Chapter 5, there was a bad Ananias. Chapter 9, there was a different Ananias because the old Ananias is no longer alive. Anyways, so he's in prayer in the Holy Spirit gives him very specific knowledge or information about Saul, later to become Paul, about his name, what street he was on, and whose house he was in, that he should not have known. And so the Holy Spirit gave that information to him. Discerning of spirits is the ability to distinguish the true source of a spiritual message or manifestation. Okay, just so to see if this is from God or not. Just remember, that is not the spiritual gift of judgment. It's discernment of spirits. Okay, the next category here is often called the power gift. So just power flowing through. You've got the gift of faith, special supernatural ability to trust God for extraordinary results. It's not just a positive person, but it's someone who is believing God for the impossible. Oftentimes I see intercession and prayer and just big prayers that this person would operate in to believe God for things. And then gifts of healings, God working through someone to restore physical, mental, or emotional health. Working of miracles, the supernatural ability to perform creative miracles. And the next category is often called the vocal gifts, so just using your mouth to speak. So prophecy, which is the ability to declare God's will or speak on his behalf. Different kinds of tongues, so the ability to speak in unlearned and unknown languages. And the interpretation of tongues, the ability to understand and interpret what is spoken in tongues. Okay, you guys good with the 1 Corinthians 12 gifts? Just right now informing you. One thing I want to note is at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, there's two other gifts listed, and that is the gift of helps and administration. For all you administrators out there, thank you for receiving that gift. It's awesome. Okay, another passage in Scripture that lists a few gifts is Romans chapter 12. They will be on the screen. In Romans 12, there's prophecy. You see a little bit of overlap through some of these, but prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and acts of mercy. So those are the Romans 12 gifts. The last list that we found in Scripture here is Ephesians 4, and that's commonly referred to as the fivefold ministry. And these are kind of leadership gifts in the body of Christ. That would be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So again, first thing I'm doing is just informing you of here's some of the things. Are some of these, raise your hand, does this sound familiar? You've seen these before in Scripture? Yes? Okay, nothing super mind-blowing. Probably the definitions of the 1 Corinthians 12 are the ones that were most like, okay, wait, what are those again? Anybody want me to put those back up there one more time? All right. So go back to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to show you just for a second here, these groups of three. So these first three, wisdom, knowledge, and discernment of spirits, those are commonly referred to as the revelation gifts, just receiving some sort of revelation or insight from God. And then let's go to the next one. These are the power gifts. Faith, gifts of healing and working of miracles. And then the last three would be the vocal gifts, which would be prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, here is an important note in the context in all three of these passages, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. All of these passages are in the context of building up the church in love. Every one of those. I love it. I love it. So Ephesians 4, the very end of that passage, after it talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, it says this at the end of that little section. It says, Ephesians 4, 16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Romans 12, right after the list of these gifts, Romans 12, 9 and 10, it's talking about love. It says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, and outdo one another in showing honor. And then 1 Corinthians 12, that lists the gifts. Many of you guys know that 1 Corinthians 13 is an entire chapter about love. And then it goes on in 1 Corinthians 14, talk about tongues and prophecy, which we'll get to in just a minute. And then also says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says that each of these gifts is given for given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So this is about the common good for the body of Christ. And so here's one of the main points as you look at the context of these passages. Knowing that the gifts of the Spirit are given to build up the church in love should do two things for us. One, it should remind us of the purpose of the gifts, okay? But also, number two, it should create in us a desire for the gifts. Okay, keep that up there just for a minute. So knowing that the gifts are given to build up the church in love should remind us of the purpose, because sometimes you can get so excited about a certain gift or a way that God's working in and through you, or be impressed by the way you see God working through somebody else, that you almost conclude this is just about us and our spirituality. And guys, that's not the purpose of the gifts, to look impressive to people or feel significant. That's not the purpose. The purpose of the gifts is to receive them and then use them to serve others and bless and build the body of Christ up. However, let me also comment on the second one, because sometimes you're like, yes, I agree with the first point. And then we kind of like belittle the gifts because it's really not about the gifts, it's about the love. But hold on. If the gifts cause us to love more effectively, we should desire the gifts. Having and operating in certain gifts of the Holy Spirit will help me more effectively build up the body of Christ. And guys, here's the deal. For me, I love this. It's like, I don't want in my own ability or my own strength to try to encourage you. I don't want to come to the end of my ability to strengthen you and encourage you. I want the Holy Spirit working in and through me to encourage you, because that's going to be more effective. Same is true for you. You should want that. Not just that you're a nice, encouraging person, but you are receiving gifts from the Holy Spirit that it's not just conjured up by yourself, but it's given to you by God, and then you release that to somebody else. You want that type of thing flowing through you. Is this making sense? It's not just our own personality, our own charisma, our own whatever that we're working through. We want the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing through us, because that's going to be most effective in building up the church in love. So it reminds us of the purpose, and it should create in us a desire. And let me give you this. Actually, let me ask this question. How strong and healthy do you want this local church body to be? That's actually a really important question to me. Okay, I have my answer. Okay, really healthy, really strong. Would love for you guys to decide the same thing, even for those of you that are guests, wherever you land, if it's here or if it's somewhere else, hopefully we have a desire to be a part of a really healthy and strong body. According to Scripture, the gifts of the Holy Spirit help us be a healthy and strong body. And so it's creating us a desire. All right, but let me address a couple things. Here's some common misconceptions and maybe some wrong mindsets about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to give you five common ones. And then we'll read some more Scripture and then focus in on tongues and prophecy. So a couple of common misconceptions and wrong mindsets. Number one, these gifts are not for me. Number two, we don't really need them. Number three, I can only operate in one gift. And then four and five are similar. I'm a better Christian because I operate in certain gifts, or I'm a lesser Christian because I don't operate in certain gifts. common misconceptions and wrong mindsets. Okay, you see that list right there, all those five things? We should all say, boo, those are bad, okay? All right, the gifts are not for me. I've said this mainly in the first week of this series. Guys, if you are a born-again believer, you put your faith and trust in Jesus, don't discredit yourself from receiving from the Holy Spirit. He doesn't overlook anybody, okay? Regardless on your background, regardless on how you're feeling, regardless on what you did last night, the Holy Spirit wants to work in and through you, and he wants to give you gifts, okay? And we don't really need them. I've kind of already addressed that. We do need them if we want to be a healthy and strong body. So we should desire them. Okay, I can only operate in one gift. That's maybe a more common misconception because you see, we can start with Jesus. He operated in a lot of these different gifts. But honestly, it's more helpful to not start with Jesus because it's easier to say, oh, well, yeah, that was Jesus. Okay, if you read through the book of Acts, hopefully you are reading through it with us, you'll see all these different disciples operating in a variety of different gifts of the Holy Spirit with healing, prophecy, tongues, all these sorts of things. Hey, yes, it might be true that there's a like more prominent gift that you might be operating in, but we don't want to limit ourselves. And it's not selfish to ask the Lord for more gifts. As long as you're not asking for more gifts so that you look more spiritual, which leads to the next point. You're not better than or less than based on your operation in the gifts. These are just gifts from God that we want to operate in and steward well and use for his glory and the building up the body. This making sense? Awesome. So here's 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. It kind of hits at a lot of these common misconceptions and wrong mindsets. It says this, that there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but it's the same Lord. I think those two verses put just like the value. No matter what the Spirit is giving us, there's just such value. It all comes from the same person, the Holy Spirit. Then it says there's a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in who? In the super spiritually elite? No, in everyone. In everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So it leads to the common good. And then verse 11, a couple of verses down, it says, all these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. I love that. It's you can ask the Lord for any gifts you want, but it's according to the Spirit that he will give the different gifts that he wills and knows is best for us. All right, there is my overview on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You guys all right out there? Okay. I'm going to spend the rest of our time focusing in on two gifts of the Spirit, tongues and prophecy. I looked back at the last sermon series I did on the Holy Spirit, which was like 2.5 years ago, and I had an entire one-hour message on just tongues and a 55-minute message on just prophecy. And I'm going to give you both in 10 minutes. Lord Jesus, do a miracle. All right. The reason I want to focus in on these two is because they get a little bit more biblical attention. And so I want to give us a little bit more attention on this. And I think these two gifts can be, there's a lot of misunderstanding or could be misused in different variety of things. And so I want to focus in on this. So here's an example of how they get a little more attention. Acts 10, 44 through 46. This was at Cornelius' house. I read this a couple weeks ago. But it says the Holy Spirit fell as Peter was still preaching. And then the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out. And they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God, which is another way of saying that's actually how prophecy was being described in Acts chapter 2. And so oftentimes that's commented on tongues and prophecy. If you go a little bit further, actually a chapter back, chapter 9, verse 6. It should be 19, verse 6. So you can find that on your own. But that 19:6, I actually read that last week. That is when Paul shows up to Ephesus. And these people said, hey, we've been baptized in water, led to repentance. Thank you so much. And then it says the Holy Spirit came on them. They began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Okay, there's another example there. Obviously read earlier, Acts chapter 2. And then this is so interesting, Acts chapter 9. So now this is actually Acts chapter 9, verse 17 through 19. This is when Paul has an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice what's not mentioned. Okay, so there you go. There's the good Ananias. Departed and entered the house and laying his hands on him, He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. And taking food, he was strengthened. What's interesting about this account is that there's no mention of Paul, or Saul, who later became Paul, having this demonstrative experience with tongues or prophecy. I show you that because later on we find in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul makes this ridiculous comment. 1 Corinthians 14, 18, he says, "But I speak in tongues more than all of you." It's like, this is so, I don't know, that's just so funny to me. That's in the holy word of God. Okay. So sometimes Holy Spirit falls in a powerful way. Sometimes everything's accounted for. Also, we're just not quite sure when did Paul receive the gift of tongues, but he prays in tongues a lot, apparently. Okay? You guys at least see that in Scripture, yes? All right. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. If you want to turn there, you can. It'll be on the screen. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. This is a great passage about tongues and prophecy and how it's used in the church, or it's supposed to be used in the church. Then I'll give you a quick little teaching and a couple testimonies. Okay, for 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. It says, "Pursue love." I love that's the first thing. What are we called to pursue first and foremost? Okay, but then it doesn't stop there. Pursue love, and then it says to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Everybody say earnestly desire. I want everybody to know you can do both. You can pursue love as the highest aim, and you can earnestly desire spiritual gifts. You don't have to pick one or the other. You need to get the order correct, but you don't have to pick one or the other. Tracking? "Especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up." All right, so that's our kind of key passage that's going to pull out a lot of truths about these gifts of tongues and prophecy. Okay, so let me start with tongues. A quick little overview will be a slide with some information. So tongues, there are two types that we see in Scripture. One is a known, like already earthly known language, yet it's unlearned by the person speaking it. That's the example that we see in Acts chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost. These different languages were given, but there were people here hearing their own language from the different cities and parts of the region that they were from. Okay, and then you also see the other type is an unknown or quote-unquote a heavenly language, or according to 1 Corinthians 13, Paul calls it like tongues of men or tongues of angels. So it's a language that no one knows on the earth, but it's something given from above, from heaven. And even we just read this in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 4. It says, "One who speaks in tongues speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him. He utters mysteries in the Spirit." Okay, what's the purpose of this gift? One, it builds up and strengthens and edifies the individual believer. We just read that in 1 Corinthians 14, 4. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. Okay, it strengthens and increases faith. Jude, that little small chapter in the New Testament right before Revelation, says that when we pray in the Holy Spirit, it builds up our most holy faith. What a phrase, our most holy faith. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I want to be built up in my most holy faith. He says when we pray in the Holy Spirit, that's what happens. And then also, this gift grows us in intercession. Ephesians 6, right after the armor of God passage, verse 18. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures because I want you, and in fact, especially if you have a lot of questions about this, you got to look this up yourself. You got to study the word of God yourself. I do not actually want you to base your beliefs about these gifts of the Spirit on my teaching. I want you to go to the word of God, study it yourself, and so I'm giving you a lot of verses, a lot of references to glance at. So feel free to take pictures of this. But Ephesians 6, right after the armor of God, Paul's like, hey, pray in the Spirit on all occasions or at all times, specifically praying for the church, the people of God, to be bold in their witness for Christ. And then Romans 8, I love this, talking about how the Holy Spirit gives us, like there's groanings in us that are too deep for words. And he helps us in our weakness and makes intercession for the saints. such a powerful passage. Can it mean more than praying in tongues? Yes. However, I don't think we can avoid praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues as a part of that passage. So look at that purpose, those three things. I do have a question for us. Does anybody in this room want to be built up, strengthened, and edified? Anybody want their faith to be strong? And anybody want to grow in intercession? Awesome. So then, according to the Word of God, there is a gift that God gives us that helps us with those three things, and that is the gift of tongues. This is such a great gift, and it's so personal of God to give this gift to His children. Wow, only you understand, unless it's like for someone else that is interpreted. Wow, thank you, God. That is intimate. That is close. That is a gift. And guys, I already mentioned this. It's part of a bigger story of God's redemption in the Word of God, especially as it relates to the Tower of Babel and what that did and what God restored in the day of Pentecost. It's so beautiful. In fact, there's this podcast that goes much more in depth about the history and the biblical connection and the story that you see that I really want to encourage you to check out. It's on the gift of tongues. It's this podcast called Ideology, done by a couple guys that are just much more intellectual than I am, and they use bigger words than I do. And it's just, they look at what story is God weaving throughout Scripture with this gift of tongues, and it creates a lot of beauty to it and kind of demystifies it, which is amazing. And it's also part of a bigger story that God's doing around the world. As you guys know, that 85% of Christianity or the move of God around the world is actually outside of America. And there's been studies, it's mentioned in this podcast, there's been studies about, okay, this surge of people coming to faith around the world and all these different countries and nations, like, you know, if they check every single, you know, doctrinal box that they are a born-again believer, okay, Jesus is the only way to salvation. The Word of God is infallible and perfect. We submit to it. Okay, you need to repent. You need to turn from sin. Okay, the Trinity, you know, just these essential doctrines. They also tried to figure out is there any other unique marker on this move of the Holy Spirit leading people to salvation around the world in 2025, or the last decade or so? One of a few things is that there is a move of the Holy Spirit, and a lot of these believers are speaking in tongues. We're going to have to be confronted with that reality if we have a problem with the gift of tongues. It's oftentimes just in America with this intellectual elite crowd that we have an issue with this because it's weird. And it just offends our minds. And so if God's pouring out His Spirit, and I want to be a part of it. I don't want to judge it and resist it. I want to say, Lord, come on, have your way in me. We need to be biblically rooted and grounded, but we don't want to resist what God might be doing in this generation. Amen? And felt like the Lord wanted to emphasize to those of you that do speak in tongues to not be ashamed. Okay, and also don't be ashamed if you don't speak in tongues. So like the Lord wants to erase that from this room of just like, we want this to be normal, something to pursue in a healthy way. My story, I'm so thankful for the way the Lord did this for me. I had a lot of concerns. I had some caution. I had some just like, this is weird with this gift of tongues. But God kind of just inched my way and opened my heart to it as I read the Word of God. And I had several experiences where people would pray over me and it's just like nothing happened. And then part of my story is that in just normal times with the Lord, this was early on into, I was about a year after being saved and following Jesus, that I was in just having time with God in my car, driving home from something. And then as I finished my prayer, some other sound or word came out at the end of my prayer. Then I was like, what was that? Okay, that's how it started for me. And I was honestly just like, I was just curious, what was that? Okay, then it happened again a couple days later. And then I shared last week, I was at an event, I shared this last week, but a couple weeks after this car ride experience, I was at an event praying for somebody else to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came on me, and that's when I received more fully the gift of tongues. And that night was so encouraging to me. It was like one of those experiences where I just know God's with me. I know He's here, and I didn't want to stop. And I felt really, I don't know what the word is, built up and edified on the inside of me. I didn't know what the word was. It's what the Bible says happens. You know, you're built up and edified and encouraged. Okay? I was like, I think this is the real thing. I still had a few questions, but, you know, it's like you grow in different gifts, and so it's been a growth point for me over the years. I want to encourage you to ask the Lord for it. Now, let me give a couple things, a couple encouragements, and a little bit of coaching on how this I want this to be used in our body. Okay, encouragement is if you have the gift of tongues, use it. Don't be ashamed of it. Let the Lord strengthen your spirit through it. If you don't have this gift, I want to encourage you to ask for it. It's a good gift. You're right. It is not the main thing, and I don't want this to hold you up. However, don't let the truth that it's not the main thing cause you to intentionally avoid asking God for a good gift. If you have concerns about this, ask questions, study scripture, get some prayer. Honestly, email me. Let's talk. There's a couple different ways you could respond. It's like, oh no, I like this church so much. It was so good. And now they know they believe in tongues and the pastor prays in tongues. Oh, man. Before you move on and get surprised by another pastor in town that also speaks in tongues, because there's a lot, no matter how conservative the background might be, because God's just doing it. I mean, he's just doing it. And just have a conversation if you're really wrestling with something, especially for those of you that have heard really strong teachings that tongues is not for today or that you need to be really weary of it. I would encourage you to have a couple more conversations before you just, you know, peace out, because this is good and it's from the Lord. A common holdup with receiving the gift of tongues is that, all right, if this is real, this is the true thing, that it's going to come on me uncontrollably. And I'm going to stand stiff until it does. You know, I don't know. Okay, so look at this in 1 Corinthians 14. What this passage does is also applies to prophecy. It's communicating that you can use self-control in operating the gifts. You can choose to use it or choose not to use it. Okay, so it says, what then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, lesson, revelation, tongue, or interpretation. Let all things be done for what? Hey, this is consistent. It's consistent. If anyone speaks in tongues, let there be only two or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to who? Himself and God. Okay, so it's just you and the Lord. Okay, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of what? Peace, as in all the church of the saints. I love that passage. It communicates that we have self-control to use the gifts, to be quiet when we need to, or to use it when we need to. It's not just this uncontrollable thing that I can't do, that I can't control. Okay. In fact, that's what scares most people is like, oh, I don't want that, you know. Okay, a little coaching on our body. Regarding the gift of tongues is really just taken from 1 Corinthians 14, 39 and 40. It says, so my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. So practically, for tongues, use it all that you want in this church body. Sounds great to me. However, here's a couple disclaimers. Use it primarily personally between you and God. Don't overdo it in your volume. Okay, don't walk up to somebody and pray over them in tongues. Okay, be a blessing, you know, to people around you. And when appropriate, ask if it's, like, sometimes it's helpful for me to pray in the Spirit for just a few seconds before I pray over somebody else. But if that's going to bother them, I'm going to honor them and prioritize love instead of just what I want to do to feel God. And so, yeah, for those that are newer to this, then I want to encourage you to not judge, but to be open, to be curious. And if you hear or see someone speaking in tongues, then, you know, again, don't judge it. Just trust the Lord with it. Okay, there's a lot I could say and want to say, but I'm going to keep moving. It's a good gift. It builds us up. I want to encourage you to do that. And this morning, if you want to receive prayer to receive that gift, then I would encourage you to come forward. If you got a lot, this is for the hungry. If they're like really want it, if you're so confused and you're like, I'm not sure about this, then maybe get prayer to like for God to help you in the confusion and help you study the Word of God. You know, start there. That's a great start. Okay, prophecy. Yep, I don't know how I'm going to finish this in time, but that's all right. It's fine. All right, second service is going to walk in a few minutes. Not a few minutes, but they're just going to walk in, and you guys just stay put. It's good. All right, prophecy. There's two types of prophecy as well, and there's a couple of specific purposes. I took both of these points from the same passages, okay? So two types of prophecy. One is like receiving insight from God to share with others that lead to their encouragement, And then there is also kind of the forthtelling about the future, sharing details or specifics about the future. And those are examples. Acts 11 is a unique example about a prophet named Agabus. What a great name. And he comes and gives a insight that there was a famine that was to come. And so the church was able to prepare for that, which is awesome. But also, the gift of prophecy is to build up and encourage and comfort other believers. We see that in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 14. And yes, to rightly prepare for the future. And so really simply, it is taking intentional time, whether the Lord initiates it or you just ask him, it's taking time to say, Lord, is there anybody in this room that you want to say something to and encourage them with? And oftentimes, for those of you that operate in this gift, it's kind of pausing, being still, listening to God. So many different ways that we can hear the voice of God, and sometimes we're just not quite sure if it is God. There's three ways to check if something that comes to your mind is from God. One, does it match up with the Word of God? Everybody say Word of God. Then, second, does it match up with the character of God? Say character of God. So not just is it biblical, but does it match his heart of graciousness and love, not of condemnation and anger, and, you know, just check the kind of the tone by which you might have something come to your mind. And then third, you check it with the people of God. Say people of God. Practically, that looks like, hey, I think this is what God's speaking. What do you think about this? Does this sound right? Does it sound biblical? Do you think this could be from God? That's how you check if a prophetic word is from the Lord. All right, my story with this, guys, I have been so powerfully impacted by this gift of prophecy on the receiving end. Okay, there's been a few times where I've prayed over someone and it's like exactly the prayer they needed to receive at the moment, and that is also so rewarding and so encouraging. But man, when you receive on the side of prophecy, it really is true. What this gift does is it just like builds your soul up. And you are reminded that God sees you and knows every detail about you. It's like, there is no way this person should know that I just had that conversation with God. There is no way. I remember I was sitting in a prayer room type setting, and I was actually waiting to go back into a room. It was kind of like a prophetic room. And I was meditating on one verse in the Bible. You know how many verses are in the Bible? A lot. I don't know. A lot of them. Okay. There's 66 books, but there's a lot of verses. I was meditating on one verse, Proverbs 22:11, one of my life verses. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. I was meditating on that, worshiping, and then I kind of got invited back to this prophetic room. And this girl I've never met in my life, this was the team of a few others, looks at me and lists off like four verses, and one of them was Proverbs 22:11. I was like, there's a lot to choose from right there. I don't know what the probability of that is, but you know, she gave me four, but the fact that one of them was the one I was meditating on was so encouraging to my soul. And there's also been times where like I've received back-to-back prophetic words that were the exact same by two different people that didn't communicate to each other. Like, huh, wow. Especially in a time where I really needed it. It was in a time of processing, moving here from Texas to plant this church. And on a Sunday morning at church, when a girl came up to me and said, hey, I feel like God is speaking to you that you are like Abraham. And she didn't have much context, but just looking at the story of Abraham, and he left a lot of things and went to this other land. And I was like, oh, that is so encouraging to me right now. The next day at our staff meeting at the church I was on staff at, a different girl comes up. We were actually in a little room with two or three others in a group, and it was time to like just listen to the Lord. And then this other girl says, hey, I feel like the Lord's saying you're like Abraham. I was like, yeah, I know. I was told that yesterday. I'm just like, God was, it's so encouraging to like have the same words given, and it boosted my soul so much. So I want to encourage you to pursue this gift so that you could be that type of blessing to somebody else, but then also to be open to receive as well. So ask for this gift. If you have it, use it. Also ask to receive prophetic words and be encouraged. Sometimes when someone prays something over you, it resonates immediately. And you're like, yes, I know that's from God. Other times, you have to kind of chew on it for a little bit. I'm not quite sure what that means, but let me kind of think about it. And then there's other times where really it just doesn't stick. And my encouragement is, or my warning really is, not to run around on that last one and, you know, point the finger and say, false prophet, false prophet, false prophet. We're learning to hear the voice of God. Some people, unfortunately, have bad motives and intentions, but a lot of us, hopefully in this room, we have great intentions and want to encourage, but we're learning to hear his voice accurately. All right, so I want to encourage you in worship settings, like we're in today, to just, you know, worship, but occasionally, from time to time, just say, Lord, is there anybody in this room that you want me to encourage? Is there anything you want to say? If maybe he highlights a person first, and then, Lord, is there any scripture that you want me to share with that person? Is there any other encouraging phrase that I can share with them? You want to keep it in the encouraging and building up category. You're not waiting for, who can I rebuke in this room, Lord? Who can I give a really scary fear of God verse to? There's times for that. So I'm not saying the Holy Spirit can't do that, but that's not the main aim. Amen? And when we are approaching someone to give a word, you're not saying things like, thus saith the Lord. Okay? Or in our language, God told me. You know, like, you want to be more submissive and humble of like, hey, I think God put this on my heart for you. I'm going to let you chew on it with God. And so you want that person to decide and discern if it was from the Lord, not you tell them for sure it's from God. Is that making sense? Give me a little bit of coaching there to help this be a healthy process. And guys, hey, band, go ahead and come back up. Here is what I want, especially as God pours out prophecy. And here's what the Word of God says can happen if a church is prophesying regularly. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25. I love this so much. I want this to be so true in our midst. It says, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all and he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare, God is really among you. Isn't that so powerful? You want to be in a room like this? Where people are prophesying, sharing God's word, it's like, oh my gosh, God is here. He's speaking to me. And it causes us to fall on our face and worship as like, God is here. Long for settings like this and for us to have these experiences with the Holy Spirit, where that's our conclusion. So as we're wrapping up, what now? Let's hunger for this, these gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, a reminder, like a disclaimer I shared earlier, we're going to have about 10 minutes to respond here. And it's not enough time, but it's God can do a lot, which is a little bit of time. And as we ask the Lord for these gifts with good heart and good motive, it will lead to health and strength in our body. And guys, I want to be as healthy and strong as we can be. So here's our response. We're not going to have any reflection questions. I will give you just a few seconds to think about where you're at right now. So a couple ideas on how to respond this morning. Number one, if you have not given your heart to Jesus clearly and fully, I want to encourage you to give your life over to Jesus today. He loves you so much, and he's so glad you're here. So come pray with someone. Say, I don't know where I would go if I die today. I don't think I have a real relationship with God. I need prayer. A second thing I really want to encourage you to do is take communion. Okay, we have baskets on either side of the sound booth, and then I'll bring one more basket up here in the middle. Just grab the communion elements, go back to your chair, take communion, have a moment with the Lord. And then there's a couple other things. One, if you want to receive the gift of tongues, or you need healing with this gift, or you're just confused and you want someone to pray for you in this journey, then come forward, receive that. Number two, if you want to receive the gift of prophecy or receive a prophetic word, like, hey, I'm new to this, but I want you to listen to God and see what he might say, then I encourage you to come forward today. And then third category, if you're like, I'll take it all, give me everything, then come forward. We'd love to pray for you for that as well. All right? So here's what we'll do. Let's stand to our feet. What I'd love to see is a lot of movement here, okay? So go grab communion elements. Some of our prayer team is going to come forward, make themselves available for you. So take communion, worship right where you are. Again, prayer team, go ahead and make your way to the front right now. It'd be awesome. And then if you want to receive the gift of tongues or prophecy or be prayed and prophesied over, then this is a great time to do that in the next 10 or so minutes. All right, let's experience the Lord together.